Take out your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 4. In James chapter 4, we're going to finish the talk today that I started last week called Dealing with Resistance. Dealing with Resistance. Now, as we're having this talk, I want to remind you, we are not glorifying our resistance. All right? We're not magnifying the forces that resist against us. We magnify Jesus. We glorify Him. We even exalt in our resistance. Jesus told His disciples, He said, when you are resisted for My name's sake, when people come against you, speak evil of you, or work against you for My name's sake, what did He say? Moan and complain in that day. No, Jesus said, rejoice greatly in that day. For you know that the Spirit of glory, Spirit of God, rests upon you in that hour. And so resistance, many times, just means you're doing something right. It doesn't mean you're necessarily doing something wrong. Can it mean you're doing something wrong? Yes, it can. So my desire is when we're dealing with resistance is not to quit, not to give up, not to faint, but to seek God and ask God, Lord, I'm encountering some resistance here. Father, what's happening? Give me your mind upon what's going on in my life. And the Lord will do that. And I want to encourage you that if it's not clear, go back to the Word of God and seek the Word about what's going on in your life to see that you're doing what God's called you to do. And if you're still a little bit confused, then find that brother or sister that God's put in your life, not to tell you everything you want to hear, but to tell you the truth about what's going on in your life. Go to them and get them to pray with you about the resistance you're going through. And I guarantee you, where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is, and God will make His mind known to you. And you will know exactly what's going on. But let's talk a little bit. Last week we talked, let me go back a second. Last week we talked a little bit about two forms of resistance. One was us receiving resistance from the imperfections of the world. And we've all experienced that. We've all tried to do business with incompetent organizations. We've all had to stand in line. We've all been put on hold. We've all had things like that in our life happen to us that just seem like it's throwing up a roadblock to what God wants to do in our life. And a lot of people see the devil in everything. I've had some dear friends in my life that everything that happened to them was a devil. Everything. If they had a flat tire, the devil flattened their tire. If their computer crashed, the devil crashed their computer. If something else happened, it was the devil who did it. And you know, one thing about it, let me just throw out two things to you. One is I don't think the devil has enough resources to follow me or you around constantly just to disrupt our lives. I don't think he has that many resources. I don't think there are computer hacking demons. You know what I mean? That's their job, to hack computers. I don't think that there's devils that are walking around with knives that are poking holes in people's tires or things like that. Now you say, now Pastor, now wait a minute. Cannot that be the enemy sometimes? I would say it could be the enemy sometimes, but it's going to have to be put together with a lot of other things. And we're going to have to be looking at what we're doing as well to see if it would be something that the enemy would really be wanting to resist and would really deploy resources. I don't think I'm important enough for the devil just to send somebody to follow me around 24 hours a day. But sometimes things just happen because we live in an imperfect world, isn't it, Pastor Bob? Wind shear happens, storms happen, this happens, that happens. Brothers and sisters, remember, God has taken into account, when He put together the plan for your life, He has taken into account and factored in the imperfections of the world. He's factored that in. He's already factored how long it's going to take to you to get through an organization. He's already factored the challenges that you're going to come against in your life. He's factored that all in. And He's going to still be glorified in your life and still be victorious in your life regardless of all those things. Many of those things are just working what? Perseverance in us, right? Perseverance in us, a stick-to-itiveness. And people see a demon behind every imperfection of life. They usually quit for false pretenses because they see the devil is resisting them when in all actuality they just need to have a little perseverance in their life and be able to continue to walk through and just say, Jesus is glorified in my 2-minute wait time. And that's being facetious. But do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is being glorified in this. And I'll be dogged. That's what I say in West Texas. I'll be dogged if the devil is going to knock me off of something just because I have to wait. I heard Pastor Roy told me a story about Poppy. They overcharged her on a bill. And Poppy just knew that that was wrong. You know, it took that girl, Pastor Roy said, about 2 hours on the phone. 2 hours to win the victory. And you know what? The enemy has factored in those 2 hours. He's saying, you know, let's make it hard. Let's make it hard so they'll give up. Let's make it hard. I bet that company that she was dealing with, I don't want to say that, but maybe they had factored that in. Let's make it a little bit difficult so that the people will just give up and pay the bill. Okay? But for 2 hours, she said, this is right. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to stay on until this thing gets right. Brothers and sisters, we need a little bit of that. Okay? We are dissuaded way too easily, and we give up too easy. And so the imperfections of life, and we do receive resistance from that sometimes. We just need a little perseverance. And if you really feel like it's demonic, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Okay? Another place that we deal with resistance is from people. I know most of you don't have any people resistance in your life. You don't have anybody who sometimes works against you or gives you a hard time in what you're doing. How many of you are receiving some people resistance right now? Right now, people resistance. Okay? Well, you know what? Are you still alive? If you're still alive, then you know what? That's normal. It's normal. And God has told us that our battle is not against who? The people. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. And when we get our eyes off of God and get our eyes on the person that's giving us a hard time, what happens? We start to war and we start to fight. And so God has told us, do battle through the Spirit. Love the people. Love the people. Love the people. He even said, when you're dealing with an enemy, bless your enemies. Do something practically good for them. I was very impressed with Mike and Darby. They've had a person on their street that's given everybody on their street a very hard time. It's a struggling person, just a person that's struggling in their own personal life. And when people are struggling in their own personal life, guess who they give a hard time to? The people around them. Okay? That's another thing. I try not to take personal people's struggles against me. I say, you know what? If they hate me, they probably got a problem between them and God. And that's just the only place it has to manifest, is between me and them. And so Darby and Mike were having a terrible time with a neighbor. And I mean, they got to the place where they didn't even want to look at the guy, because if they looked at him, he would just come start harassing them. Well, he just went through another very, very difficult time in his life. And I was so proud of Mike and Darby, because Mike and Darby went over there. They went over. Mike went over to try to minister to the guy. And you know what? Not thinking about yourself and reacting out of love. If your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. If he needs a drink, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And remember, in Israel, the women used to carry the coals on top of their head. They'd carry them from one place to another. So they'd take it from where they were to where they were going so they could start a fire wherever they were. So it's a good thing to heap a little, take some of your fire and put it off on somebody else through acts of love and kindness. So James chapter 4, we're going to read it verse 1. We're going to talk about a couple of types of resistance, and I don't have much time at all. James 4, 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, sometimes you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives us more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Everybody say, submit to God. Resist the devil. Everybody say, resist the devil. And what happens when you resist the devil? He will flee from you, not might, not maybe, not possibly. He will. Everybody say, he will. He will. How do you resist him? By submitting to God. That's how you resist him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. This is a repentance process. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And who will lift you up? He will lift you up. Resistance from the enemy. As I said earlier, I don't think the devil deploys resources against something that's not doing anything. I don't think he has to. I think there's plenty in uncrucified flesh to keep it going to hell and to keep it being tripped up from him so that he doesn't have to deploy a resource against that. If the enemy is coming against you, if it's Satan that's coming against you, then you must be doing something right. If it's Satan coming against you, you must be doing something right. So don't get down in the mouth and begin to get unhappy and get into a pity party. But here's some things we don't want to do when the enemy's coming or as we walk forward in our relationship with Christ. Ephesians 4:27 tells us that the devil is looking for a place from which to operate. It says, don't give place to the enemy. It's one thing for the enemy to come against you and assault you, but it's another thing for you to give him a place inside your camp from which to work against you. Okay? How do we give him place? Let's break this down to the most bottom line foundational thought. You say, well, there's so many ways we could give the enemy a place. There's one main thing I think that we do. When we come into an agreement with ungodly thoughts. I'm talking about believers now. Believers. When we come into agreement with ungodly thoughts, then we start giving place to the enemy. The enemy starts saying things to us, or we start grabbing a hold of the philosophies of the world, or the way the world does things. You know, Jesus really made no distinction between the ways of Satan and the ways of man. He equated them. He said either one of them is going to lead to destruction. When Peter was rebuking Jesus because Jesus said, I'm going to die and go to the cross, and Peter started rebuking him, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, who? Satan. How'd you like Jesus to call you Satan? That wasn't a blessing that day. But Jesus was speaking to a spirit. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Satan is talking to me right now. You got to know the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of God. And he said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of Satan. Is that what he said? The things of man. So Jesus equated the two. He said either one of those two are equally destructive. So we don't want to get in agreement with ungodly thoughts when the enemy starts working against us. And that's how he primarily attacks all of us, is right here between these ears. Now, I'm not saying that things don't happen to us. We all know they do. We're in a battlefield. You are not sitting on an island somewhere. I watch Hawaii Life with my wife because if you want to live with her, you're going to have to learn to watch HGTV. It's just the way it is. If you don't want to watch it, then you might as well divorce and find somebody else. But we watch Hawaii Life, and didn't it look good to see those people on the beach? Something just overtakes people, and they go, we're just going to quit our life and go live on the beach for the rest of our life. And I look at that, and I say, that really looks good. Sit there, eat nachos, and drink Pepsi. A lot of us say, I feel good about it. I had a pastor one time said, I feel good about it. That sounds good. Only problem is we don't live in that type of reality here in this world. We're in a war zone. We're in a war zone. And a lot of people are just fighting against that mentality in their mind. This shouldn't be a war zone. I don't like it as a war zone. And they fight against that constantly, and it gives them a lack of peace in their heart. But that's where we live. We live in a place of war. And Satan is speaking here. And the way that he can't defeat a Christian. The only way he can defeat a Christian is to get you in agreement with what he says. He can't even defeat you by coming against you and trying to destroy things in your life. Go back to Job. First of all, the enemy didn't have the power in Job's life just to do whatever he wanted to do. That had to go through God. God was in control of Job's life, just like God's in control of yours, if you're truly his. Okay? And so the only thing that the enemy could do against Job was whatever God permitted in that case. But it wasn't what happened to Job that was going to end up being the final destruction, death blow in his life, was it? It was what he what? Thought about it. It was what he came into agreement with about that thing that was going to be the thing that was going to take him down. At the very beginning, after all that destruction happened, after the enemy came against him and just, man, moved in his life. And then Satan came back before God. God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" In spite of everything that's happened to him, he maintains his what? His integrity. That means he is not a divided person. Integrity is the word we get our word integer from. It's a whole number. In spite of everything the enemy has done to him, his life with me and himself have not been divided. He maintains integrity. His belief in God has not altered. And you can't be defeated. You cannot be defeated by the enemy if you will hold on to your integrity. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him. Who's it talking about? The believers. They overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony, and that just doesn't mean that I sat down and told what God had done for me. The testimony was also the word of God. They continued to speak the word over themselves. They said, "I know my God. I know what he has planned for me. I don't understand what's happening, but I'm not going to give in to ungodly thoughts here and start coming into agreement with them." And because of the fact they loved not their lives, even if it led them to the death. And those two are working together. You have to make a decision. What's your final breath going to say? Man, when the enemy was coming against me to kill me in my early days of serving the Lord, I did not understand what was going on. I was having a terrible time. And you know, finally, I had to make a decision. I had to say, what do I want to be my final words? If I were to die here in this situation, what do I want my final words to be? What do I want my final life action to be? Curse God and die? This doesn't work? I had to make up my mind. I had to say, if I go down with the ship, my last words are going to be, he trusted in God. I believe God. I believe God. That's called not loving your life even unto the death. And when you do that, and then the word of the testimonies at work in your life, you got the blood of the Lamb, you have defeated him. What do you want your final words to be? Not that they're going to be your final, I don't believe it, but think about that. What's going to be the final thing out of your mouth? Praise to God or doubt and unbelief? Okay? Bible tells us that the enemy has wiles. He has a method in which he works against us. It's an organized method. He has an organized plan. He doesn't have to come up usually with a lot of new things because the old ones work too well. Greed, sex, power, money, pains and weaknesses, parents' weaknesses. You know, all those things are the things he comes against us with. And he has a method that he works against us with. And even knowing and understanding the method, pride, fear, understanding the tools that he uses against you helps you a great deal. Being able to recognize them and know, I know what he's going to come against us with. All of a sudden, we went from being, from having to have commitment through the hard times, to all of a sudden, God's pouring out these blessings upon us now. Not only do I can see what God's doing, but now I understand what that old slew foot will try to do now too. He's going to come against us with pride. He's going to come against us with serving money and serving these other things. I understand that. I've seen it in the Word. Everybody understand what I mean? And then you're aware of it. We're aware of his tactics against us. And we hold up the shield of faith so we can quench all those fiery darts of the wicked. And we keep the people around us that can speak into our lives and say, watch out for this. Be careful for that. I'm on your side. I'm with you all the way through this. To him who is able to keep us from falling. Man, that's one of my life verses. To him who is able to keep us from falling, in the book of Jude. One final thing I want to say is there is something that can be called resistance from God. We saw it here in the Bible. And what did it say in the Bible that God resisted? Pride, the proud. I would rather have a million demons resisting me than one God. Because there's no one higher than him to make him change. You know what I mean? I mean, God. So he says he resists the proud. And, you know, pride at its essence is basically where we come to the place where we're seeking the exaltation of something other than him, and we're also wanting to take credit for things that he does. That's usually how pride comes against us. We want what we want. We want to take credit for the things that he does, okay? We want to be praised. We have a desire for all those things. And when that begins to happen, the Bible says God resists that. He resists the proud, okay? And God doesn't resist us because he hates us, but God's after the true repentance of the heart. God is saying you can't truly move forward with that thing in operation in your life. You're not going to be able to move forward. He goes, you're working in direct opposition against me, even if the work that you're doing looks godly. It's not just what we're doing, it's why are we doing what we're doing that's important. Now, last Wednesday night, we even got a little deeper into this. We even talked about how does Satan come against the Christian who hasn't really fallen prey to the temptations of sex and the temptations of greed and the temptations of all of these things. How does he come against those who don't fall prey to those things? We saw that in the book of Nehemiah. But my desire is for every single one of you to be blessed and used by God. And the way that that's going to happen is for you to walk in humility. What is humility? Pastor Roy, you want to tell them what humility is? Come on up here. Give them a definition of true humility right off the cuff here.
I'm about to lose my voice, so. True humility, I believe, comes about when you have a revelation simply of who God really is and who you really are. And that the natural outflow of that is humility, period.
I agree with that, very much so. When we see who God is and who we are and the difference between the two, then humility is an outflow of that. And if we walk in true humility, we're going to be able to be blessed by God. The Bible says humility comes before honor in Proverbs 10:9. And when we walk in true humility before God, when we're submitted to him, our attitudes and hearts are submitted to him, our actions are submitted to him, our desire for who gets the glory is submitted to him, our knowledge that it's not really us doing anything, it's God doing it in us, whatever successes we have, that's all submitted to him, then we're on a platform not just to be blessed by God and for him to work with us and not against us, but we're standing on a platform in which we can resist the devil and he will flee. He has no choice. Don't you let him speak to you and say, I'm not going. I'm not moving. If you are standing in true humility and submission to God, you tell him, yes, you are. Don't get in a big dialogue with him. Just say, I'm standing right here. And you are going to have to move, okay, and let God, the glory of the Lord, drive him out of where you are. So resistance. We're not going to faint if we encourage resistance. Encountering resistance. If we do encounter resistance, then we're going to seek God about it. We're going to ask the Lord. We're going to go to the Word and say, Lord, what's going on? If we're still a little bit unclear, we're going to get our people in our lives that have been put there to speak in our life. We're all going to study the word. We're all going to pray about it together. And I guarantee you, God's going to give us a word about it. All right? If we're working and somehow in opposition to God, we're going to repent. We're going to get it right. Okay? If the devil is moving against us, we're going to rejoice in the Lord. And we're going to maintain our integrity in God. And we're going to see him move and give up ground for the kingdom of the Lord. And we're going to make up our minds, no matter what we have to go through, no matter what we encounter, they're going to hear the same words coming out of our lips. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. I will continue to praise his holy name. I live for his glory, and I die for his glory. Blessed be his precious name. Amen. You get to that place, the enemy can't defeat. There's nothing he can do. Even if he attacks, there's no foothold, no place for him to get to defeat the people of God.